Hey everyone, welcome to Mind Links. Welcome back to the show. Would I say welcome back to the show or welcome to Mind Links? But welcome to Mind Links regardless. As you know, this is a mental health show that encompasses or has so many beneficial aspects for you. Like if you're, when we talking about marriage, family, relationship, mental health, physical health, dieting, anything to generally improve your well-being, this is what Mind Links is all about. So if you're listening to this, I can assure you that you're gonna have a blissful time and a very, very educational time with us. Okay, so thank you for listening once again. Welcome to Mind Links. This is a mental health talk show podcast, and we're going to be talking about so many amazing things that you can benefit from and add to your life and build yourself, you know, this new year. Oh, by the way, Happy New Year. We are in 2023 and this is a new year. So I feel this is one of the best times to start building yourself, start rebranding, start, you know, elevating yourself. You don't need to change anything. You just need to add to yourself to make yourself better, upgrade yourself. 2021, towards the end of the year on Dish Talk Show, we spoke about upgrading yourself for the new year. Can't remember the exact topic, but 2021 we did that, and you know, we spoke about how many, you know, there's so many ways you can use, so many ways you can upgrade yourself. You can elevate yourself by adding more skills to yourself. Whatever you know now is not the last, is not the best of your capacity. You can always learn more. You can always pick up a new skill anytime and benefit from it in the future. So this podcast will help you learn more about yourself. It will help you use this knowledge you've gotten about yourself to elevate yourself. It will help you educate others around you as well. It will help you feel more at peace with yourself because you have full understanding of who you are. So this podcast is like the best thing if you want to for you, if you want to elevate yourself and grow as an individual, basically. So having said that, you can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, so many platforms. The platforms are listed in the bio of the Dish Talk Show on Instagram. If you can also follow Easy Life. Easy Life is a mental health foundation where, you know, talk shows, conversations, group therapy, we all come together to heal our mental trauma and, you know, build our mental strength by learning about mental health. So you can follow Easy Life on Instagram, and these videos, clips of this actual podcast will also be uploaded there as well. And yes, there'll be video clips as well, you know, if of the little snippets, little topics and daily doses, basically, you can learn from. So you can just go on Instagram, type in the Dish Talk Show, follow the Dish Talk Show, and you see clips of Just Diving and so many other shows under the Dish Talk Show. If you want to, you know, if you want your mental health content, strictly mental health content, you can search this on Spotify, Just Diving, and on Apple Podcasts as well, Just Diving. You can also just go to Easy Life and just listen to all the little snippets we have uploaded there for you. So we have everything locked down for you. If you have any questions, you are very, very welcome to responding to the videos or responding to this podcast on Spotify. We have a part of this the podcast where you have the opportunity to send in your questions or respond to a poll or something like that. So you can leave your questions there and be answered. Let's use this means to grow, because it's also a learning opportunity for me as well. So let's use this means, this opportunity, this platform to grow and become better Nigerians, because this podcast is mostly very importantly targeted to my fellow Nigerians, because we need to get ourselves even more educated than we have been. We are very educated people, but we just need to get ourselves a lot more educated about so many things that are very important. It's not only about getting money, getting the job. There's so many aspects of your life, and there's so many aspects of yourself and others you need to learn about in order to function in society properly, and in order to avoid issues coming up in your life. And you know, whatever issues you may be facing, you may be going through divorce, this message is for all Nigerians, all ages. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, this podcast is for you. It is something that you can listen to on your way to work. Just get a little information, 30 minutes clear before you drive to work. If you're stuck in traffic, listen to it. It will be very, very beneficial for you. Okay? So let's go into the topic of today. Today, this is the first episode. This is episode one. And episode one, we are going to be talking about autism. I chose this topic because a lot of Nigerians are autistic, and they are very, 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 I wouldn't like to say delusional about it. I would like to say they are in the dark about it. So many parents have autistic children in Nigeria and don't even know what autism is. And most people in their families face issues daily, either through criticisms or through misunderstanding, or nobody really understanding them, or you know, blaming them for certain behaviors that they exhibit. And it's actually weighing them down, and they don't really understand why they have been picked on and why they stand out. I don't want to say stand out, but why they feel isolated, basically. So autism is obviously going to be my first topic talking about in this podcast, because you might find out today that you may be autistic, and it's fine. We're going to also talk about positive aspects of being autistic and how much of a superpower it is than a disability. So let's dive right into the podcast. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is defining what autism is. Okay, so autism is a neurodivergent disorder. It's actually called autism spectrum disorder, so ASD. So this is a type of neurodivergence according to the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, that's the DSM-MD. You just call it DSM-V, DSM-5, DSM-4, so you just call it DSM. So according to the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders, autism is a neurodivergence. What is neurodivergence? We're going to go right into that later, but let's just handle this definition first so we can have an understanding of what autism is, and you know, break that misconception about autism and mental, you know, somebody autistic is mad. You know how we Nigerians like to misunderstand words. Okay, and facts. Okay, so autism represents differences in how the brain is wired and how it functions. So basically what this is trying to say is autism is like people with autism have a different wiring in their brain. And when I say wiring, I don't mean actual wires. I mean the neural connectivities that form the whole system in the brain. The way the brain functions, the way we think, you know, how we see things, how we understand things, especially when it comes to that frontal lobe aspect. So it represents differences in how the brain is wired and how it functions. So many autistic people are disabled. Others do not consider themselves disabled because they are on a spectrum, like you said. It's called autistic spectrum disorder, because autism is on a spectrum. Spectrum is something that goes from 0 to 10. It's like a rating scale, basically. So how the more you go in the spectrum, the higher whatever you're rating the spectrum. Okay, so although many autistic people can appear physically disabled, not everybody consider themselves disabled with autism. And autism does not indicate deficits in comparison to people who are considered neurotypical. So because, you know, the definition according to DSMV is autism is a neurodivergent. See, and people that do not have autism are called neurotypical people. It's people that are not neurodivergent, basically. So if you look at the word neuro and you look at the word divergent, it still defines how the differences in the brain functions and how it's wired. So when it's wired differently, it's neurodivergent. But when it's wired, you know, properly, you know, I'm very, very skeptical when I talk about the normal brain, because I don't believe there's anything like the normal proper brain. But we'll talk about that as we go into this podcast. So yeah, basically people with autism have a different wiring in their brain, and they think differently because of that feature. So that's why they're called neurodivergent. But neurotypical people have a normal quote-unquote wiring or functioning of their brain. So instead, it does not indicate deficits in comparison to people with neurotypical brains. Instead, it means that a person may need varying levels of support and accommodation to thrive. So what this is saying is, you do not, because you have a different wiring of your brain, doesn't mean you are, you know, your brain is, you have deficits in your brain or you have dysfunction in your brain. It doesn't really mean that. It just means that you probably require different levels of support and accommodation in order to function in the world. And these things may not be anything crazy. It could just be something as little as, I want my room to be tidy, I can't sleep in a room that's not tidy. Or it could be, certain things have to be in place. I can't leave this task until I finish it. It's a sign of autism. Like when you're working on something and you just cannot get yourself to leave that activity and do something else or take a break until it's done, it could be a sign of autism. So it's just little things like that as well. And remember, it's on the spectrum, so I'm just talking about different parts of the spectrum for now. So how do you know you have autism? You can't just go on Google or go read a book about autism and just say, okay, because I fully relate to these things in the book, then therefore I have autism. And the reason why I say that is because certain people have personality disorders that are characterized by, you know, delusions of having delusions or believing that they have certain disorders or behaviors just because of, you know, the personality disorder, or just because they just want to feel like they have for attention, basically. Most people claim mental disorder just for attention. So, and it's not to just say, why would they claim a mental disorder for attention? Wow, that, no need to blame them. They also have a personality disorder that's making them believe or making them think what they're doing is right, or because the attention feels right, that's why they do it. So you can't really blame everybody, you know, to an extent. So it's okay, it's not okay for you to Google autism or go read on autism and then say, oh wow, okay, it's because I relate to what I'm seeing here, I'm going to identify as someone that is autistic. That's not advisable. It's advisable to always get, you know, if you feel like you have very, very strong relations to the symptoms presented in whatever you researched in, it's always good to get the professional point of view. You can take a test by a professional clinical psychologist or psychologist or somebody in mental health, you know, into mental health for a proper diagnosis, so you can actually have full on, because you cannot, because there's certain mental, also because there's certain mental disorders that are very similar, they almost like intertwine. And the reason why is because the brain also functions together, although there are different aspects of the brain, parts of the brain, different functional parts of the brain. The brain as well also needs all parts to work together in order to create the whole functioning of the body. That's why they are all linked. And the reason, and that's, with that said, mental disorders are very, very similar to, you know, other mental disorders. Very similar. It's very difficult, could be so very difficult if you're not very observant to differentiate them. So it's very advisable to go to a professional mental health professional, yeah, to get a full diagnosis, so you don't even start, you know, self-prescribing, because it's very dangerous to, the brain is a very, very powerful organ, so you can't just see some symptoms online and then say, oh okay, you know, because you're not fully educated in psychology, you don't really know. It doesn't just have to do with, you know, going to look up symptoms, it goes a lot deeper than that. So you don't start believing, because the moment you start believing, oh, I have certain disorders, you actually might start developing those symptoms even more, present those symptoms basically. So it's always advisable to get the diagnosis from a mental health professional. Okay, I hope I wasn't talking too low. So that's how you know if you have, you want to know if you have a proper autism, you have to get yourself diagnosed. So autism can often feel overwhelming. That's why it's important to recognize autism is not a condition that needs to be cured. It's not like a disability or something that, you know, although yes, you need some support, or you need some special needs basically in order to function in society, it's not something that needs to be, you know, oh my god, you need to find a way to cure autism. That's not, it's not that kind of impairment. It's like I said, it's not a disability. It means that the person may need different support, like I said, adjustments in their environment and coping strategies to live fulfilling lives. I think I said that already. You need to have adjustments in your life. You need to have certain things around you and coping styles, especially coping styles. Coping styles are very important, even if you don't have autism. Like, you need to be aware of coping mechanisms, coping styles, and choose the one that works perfectly for you. And we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about a lot on this podcast. So keep, you know, subscribe. When you go on Spotify, make sure you subscribe and keep the bell notification on. And also, if you're using Apple Podcasts as well, leave the notification on so you can get a notification anytime we drop a new episode. All right. Okay, so let's keep pushing. So now we're gonna go to emotional tips for living with autism. We don't want to go into the symptoms. I think we've already spoken in length about what autism is, definition of how it's different from every other mental disability and how it's not a disability in its entirety, or you need to it's just that the functioning of the brain and the wiring of the brain is a little different, so there's no so there is no impairment. There's no impairment, and there is no dysfunction of the brain, so it's not a disability. So we've spoken about that. I'm going to go into emotional tips for living with autism. Okay, emotionally coping with autism. So, according to research done over years, autistic individuals often face feelings of anxiety, stress, and sometimes depression, sometimes heightened sadness, or heightened, you know, emotional moods, or heightened moods. Okay, so they face feelings of anxiety and stress, and these can take a toll on them. Like, it can actually affect their emotional health, can make it difficult for them to cope, and it can make it difficult for them to be resilient and be strong and keep pushing. Some of these pressures stem from societal expectations, which often insist that neurodivergent people must conform to neurotypical demands. So, like we already discussed, that autism is just the different wiring of the brain, thus making the person need certain support, certain lifestyle changes or coping mechanisms for them to actually meet these life expectations. So because of that pressure, you know, from people, like we know in families, especially in Nigerian families, I'm just going to be talking mostly about Nigerian families, especially in Nigerian families, we are expected to do so many things, even from a very young age, that you're supposed to get the first position, you're supposed to be the best student, you're supposed to be clean, you're supposed to be there's so many expectations, like, you know, put upon you, especially as a Nigerian, or as a Nigerian male, female, anybody, whatever you gender you identify as. So it's difficult for people with autism, autistic people, to really adjust to these expectations, because, like I said, it's their brain functioning and wiring is different. It doesn't mean that the wiring is not there, it's just different. It's just they see things differently. Okay, so these societal expectations can cause a lot of stress and anxiety for them. And most of the time, you might think, oh, I just have so much anxiety, I just feel like maybe you might just be autistic. But wait, you just go get the real professional. I'm a professional anyways. You just have to come and get your evaluation properly. I don't want anybody to just take my word and run with it. So it makes it very difficult for people with autism to cope and actually be in society because of the societal expectation, and because of that, it can get a lot of stress and anxiety. It can take a toll on them, take a toll on their resilience, emotional health, and coping style. Okay, so autistic people are also at higher risk of trauma and abuse compared to non-autistic people, and this is because for an autistic adult, finally getting a diagnosis after a lifetime of not understanding why they are the way they are can be very difficult. Many providers will not evaluate adults, and many autistic people are misdiagnosed or inaccurately told they are not autistic following an evaluation. So the risk, like before I go and explain what I just said, I'm going to go back to the reason why they are higher at risk for not for experiencing trauma and abuse compared to non-autistic people. And I think this is because the way they think and the way their emotional centers in the brain is wired as well is different from every other person's brain, and they might perceive things differently. They might perceive things either too exaggerated or, you know, yeah, I think too exaggerated. For example, somebody might break up with Mr. A in neurotypical person, and they break up with a neurodivergent person. The way or the duration at which both Mr. A and Mr. B, or Mrs. A and Mrs. B, would use to get over the relationship would be different. It might take Mrs. B a longer time to get over the relationship because she is neurodivergent, and because she probably perceives the whole experience a lot different than the neurotypical person have normally, you know, perceived a normal experience. So because of that whole difference in thinking, thus neurodivergency, that would make them going to feel a lot more traumatized by the identical situations both the neurotypical person was involved in and the neurodivergent person was involved in as well. So that's the reason why they might be more traumatized, because of thinking so exaggerated. Oh wow, you know, so much, you know, ups in love and or so much investment. You might feel a lot more betrayed, you might feel a lot more stressed because of, you know, the breakup. So that's just using that as an example for trauma to get experience. So like I said, the autistic adult finally getting the diagnosis after a lifetime of not understanding why they behave the way they are and why they are different. So many providers may not evaluate adults, and many autistic people, I mean, like I said, you need to meet a professional. Okay, you need to meet a mental health professional and get a proper diagnosis of your mental health. If you do not meet a mental health professional, you will be misdiagnosed. And the reason why it's bad to be misdiagnosed is because you just think, you know, because you've been told I am not autistic, then you can now start thinking, oh, I'm probably highly, you probably now actually, yeah, number one, you might not understand the reason why you not understand that, okay, since I'm not autistic, why is it that I feel this way? Why is it that I think this way? Why is it that this person is not doing what I'm doing? Why is it that my book looks like this and her book, like little things, like so many, there's so many aspects of autism that that you can really take note of to actually spot autism. Okay, so I don't really want to go into the nitty-gritty symptoms of autism because I don't want anyone to take this message around with it. I can also give a disclaimer: please do not take this message around with it. If you feel you can relate to this, go and get a full diagnosis from a mental health professional. So it's difficult. And another thing I need to add is autism, even, you know, autism can still proceed into the person's adulthood. It doesn't go away over time. It's not like ADHD that can possibly go away as you grow. Autism grows, you know, it doesn't really go away. It stays with you till the the very end. So I don't think it's like I still agree that it's not a disorder to be cured. It's just how your brain is wired, and it's just like being left-handed, I guess. It's just something that is just you. It's just how you are. Like I said earlier, there are some autistic people can really, really present as autistic, and you can really see that, you by just looking at them, you can tell that they are autistic. So it's on a spectrum. So we are going to talk about how to cope with this. Already said, number one, get yourself diagnosed properly. Okay, do not embrace self-diagnosis. A lot of people in the autistic community have embraced self-diagnosis. Do not embrace self-diagnosis. Get yourself properly diagnosed, because you want to know for sure, and you want to know what level of autism on spectrum you are on. It actually just helps to even develop proper coping styles to deal with all the stressors that life may come with. So it's properly advised that you get a proper diagnosis. Don't self-diagnose, okay? All right, so understand the emotional challenges autism can bring. So autism is a form of that, we've already spoke about that, which means that the way a person's brain functions differs from one that is neurotypical. Although, because neurodivergent people are often expected to think and act and feel like neurotypical people, the experience of ongoing stress resulting from having to mask and present ways that meet neurotypical standards can cause emotional stress on people. And this might actually make people think that you are having some type of mental disorders that you probably do not have. So let's talk about under emotional challenges, I want to talk about masking. Masking is when you try to act in a certain way in order to be perceived as a certain person, or have a certain behavior. And masking can also be a form of defense mechanism. Just because you do not want to get fired at work, you then act properly. On a normal day, you know that you are a very, very loud person. Well, it's because your workplace is a quiet environment, everybody behaves appropriately. You have to now behave appropriately as well. Okay? You now have to behave appropriately as well. So masking is done a lot by most people that have autism. Most autistic people mask. And mask because they try to fit in so they will not be judged or called weird or called, you know, or looked at in a certain way. So that's one of the reasons why people with autism mask their autism. They sit at a point, they don't move, even if they want to. The autistic in a situation of like music, because music is one of the things that most autistic people really, really have a higher sense of. Like they can, you know, enjoy music on a different level. Depends on type of autism, basically. Let's use music for example. And you can be an autistic person and just hear music, and just because you don't want to be perceived as a certain way or weird, instead of doing what you would typically do, which is probably dance or close your eyes and move your head or sway your head or snap your fingers or just nod your head while closing your eyes or tap your feet or do something, you just sit down and just pretend like you can't even, you're not even enjoying the music, or you can't even hear the music. So that's masking. So masking is done to basically present like neurotypical people because of the pressures put by so many people, by society, on you to act appropriately. The behaviors of autistic people is not something weird, it's not something crazy, it's just little things. Like it could be something like the way they eat or something, or like the food they eat or the type of food they want to eat, the way they eat, the way they do their things is all is a little bit different from like the expected societal way to behave. So that's why like mothers
parents.
Nigerian parents might even beat the hell out of the autistic child while growing up, just because, why can't you just behave like a normal person? What's wrong with you? You know, because they don't really understand what's wrong with the child. Some people might think there's a deliverance and spiritual problem that the child needs deliverance, but it's just probably just autism. So it's very important to educate yourself. Like, it's very important to educate yourself, because when you are fully educated, there's nothing like fully educated, but when you are educated on certain topics, on certain aspects of life, everything comes so clear to you. You might even start to connect other dots based on the knowledge you've collected from something, or you've developed, gotten a lot of information, got a lot of knowledge about something. You might now start connecting the dots from the, you know, from other aspects of your life. So it's very important to educate yourself, to avoid all this Nigerian parents, Nigerian culture, which I love Nigerian culture, but certain aspects of our culture is kind of flawed. Anyway, okay, so masking is one of the ways autistic people tend to cope. Basically, it's one of the copies, like I said, it's a coping mechanism. It's adopted mostly by autistic females, because autistic females are very difficult to spot, unlike autistic males. Most males that are autistic, you can actually tell he has autism, but females, you can't really know, because they're good at masking. Okay, so the next is to find ways to cope with the anxiety, because a lot of autistic people have anxiety. They struggle with anxiety. A lot of autistic people struggle with anxiety. It's advisable that you learn how to cope with your autism. Your anxiety, sorry. I didn't get distracted for 1 second. Sorry about that. Learn how to cope with your anxiety. Learn ways to manage anxiety. Mindfulness is one of the best ways you can use to, you know, help your mental illness. Sorry, your mental disorders like anxiety. It's one of the most important ways you can manage your anxiety. So, mindfulness, breathing techniques is also good. So I was distracted by your message. So we're back on track. Breathing techniques work. Works a lot. Listening to certain calming sounds. There's, we're going to be talking about that in another episode. I call it calming sound, but they're like called different hairs. I think I'm going to still look into it more. I'm not really fully vested on the information about it, but it's like some sounds, frequencies that, you know, cause healing. And then affirmations as well, and like I said, mindfulness. We're talking about mindfulness so you can understand fully what mindfulness is and how to practice mindfulness. So mindfulness is another way you can manage your anxiety. And also I wanted to even add, educate yourself on what autism is. So if you're diagnosed with autism, you know what, you know, level of autism you have. Read on it, educate yourself, ask your therapist questions, learn a lot more about it, so you can be, you know, so you can have the understanding coupled with the mindfulness training, have the understanding of yourself and be very aware of your triggers and very aware of things you are doing wrong, okay, that are not, you know, because the things people with autism, autistic people do that are not neurotypical, cause them issues in their life. So they need to, we need to find ways to identify those things and
find ways to overcome those urges to do things that's going to take us away from doing the appropriate thing at the right times. Because, you know, there's a right time for everything. You can't just, because you're listening to music in a boardroom, or because you hear music in the boardroom, and just stand up on that. There are certain things that autism brings that you need to find ways to, you know, cope with. So how to stay healthy? So healthcare professionals or healthcare providers may focus on autistic persons' autism diagnosis anytime the individual has an appointment, which could cause them to overlook the symptoms like the anxiety, the stress. So this is important to stay on top of other regular medical checkups like physicals, monthly dental visits, mindfulness as well, just to keep yourself in check, because your stress levels can really go high, because anxiety is very similar to panic disorders. So, and panic disorders cause the same, one of the major symptoms or signs of a panic disorder is high heart palpitations. And when you are having high heart palpitations, you can be predisposed to like high blood pressure, cardiac vascular diseases, and so many other things. So it's very advisable for you to be up on top of your mental and your physical health. And even if mental health professionals are not focusing on other aspects or other symptoms, you take the time out to go for your physicals, go for your dentals, go for your checkups, and also, you know, check your heart rate on a daily basis. Just basically do the normal things that, you know, practice the normal things like self-care activities such as getting regular time to exercise, taking time to take a break, because it is very difficult to be masking all the time. It's very important to just say, okay, if you're feeling like you want to take a break, you go take a break. You must not try to overwhelm yourself all in the name of you want to be neurotypical. Relax, practice stress management. There may also be factors in tasks like activities and plans that fit in your sensory needs, and you need to do that as well. Things that you like, if you like to look at the sun, set, if you like the rain, sometimes you just go out downstairs. Make sure you actually indulge yourself, because it just helps you feel a lot better. So having a routine is also good, because most autistic people tend to be distracted easily, tend to be very sensory focused, and they forget the routine. Because as we grow up, you know, as I said, autism doesn't leave us. So as we grow up, we need to be very mindful of our routine in order to stay, you know, be on the top of our life and keep everything functioning properly. Our school, finances, work, and all that, balancing everything out in order to have a very, very healthy, adapted life as an autistic person. So an active lifestyle. So there are like several treatment programs to help autistic people get their support needs met and managed. Though very few of these programs include physical activity regimen, some autistic people might find that their motor skills such as walking or coordination are affected. So if you are autistic, it's important to find activities you enjoy in order to stay active and remain healthy. Focus on activities you enjoy that feel good, and do it when you feel good. Don't just force yourself to do it because, you know, it's the right thing to do. Just do it when you feel good. Do things that make yourself feel good. And when you're doing them, it can both help your physical and mental health as well. So also your eating habits, because autism can also affect how you eat. It's crazy, because you want to be, might be craving sugar, you might not be hungry, you're probably just craving sugar, and you want to just go and get yourself some pancakes or cake or something, just to give that, it's basically just, I think it's like a sensory need that you would want to meet up with those cravings. So you'd be, like I said, be mindful of what you eat, of yourself, and be mindful of what I'm adding here is mindful of what you eat. So some autistic people find it hard to maintain a balanced diet due to food textures, smells, and other sensory challenges. Many have specific dietary needs due to sensory sensitivities. It may take some work, but it is important to find ways to work around these food preferences, to find food that a person likes to meet their nutritional needs. This may take some practice and try and error, so be prepared to try and probably reject any number of different foods before finding out the ones that suit you. Do not force yourself to eat anything that you do not feel, you know, it does not make you comfortable. So that's it. Sleeping challenges. You might have struggle sleeping. It's normal for autistic people to struggle with sleep. This can be brought on by several reasons, from restlessness to overstimulation. You're so overstimulated, you cannot go to bed. If you're autistic and find it challenging to get to sleep, sticking to a specific bedtime routine will also benefit you. And if you find it difficult going to sleep, it's advisable to listen to some calming sounds. It's advisable to listen to some podcasts like this one. And it's advisable you can just put on something and just watch it, and you find yourself dozing off. Also, try and make a mental note of the days you struggle with sleep and what you think might be causing it. So you have to just be on top of yourself and be responsible for yourself, and not just say, oh, we'll have autism, I beg you, and use it as an excuse to just be, you know, at the bottom of yourself in life just because you have autism. Use it as an excuse to just not try. So lastly, we're going to talk about the social impact of being autistic, because it actually affects you socially. So humans are mostly relational, and everybody needs social support in any form. However, most autistic people may sometimes struggle with this for various reasons, like communication issues, overstimulation can create the difficulty in a person's ability to maintain friendship. You might feel so overstimulated because there's so many people in the environment, and you're finding it difficult to just breathe. So you might not even want to find yourself in those situations in the first place. You might have a lot of social anxiety because of your autism, and you might find it difficult to talk to people without feeling really, really awkward about it. So you can always find ways to get over this. So if you're autistic, a support group for autistic people can actually help you meet people to connect with. And it can be actually very difficult for you to make friends, thus what I said earlier. And like, if you're looking for somebody that you want to be friends with, because you might have that need to feel among a community, to still belong, to still have that friendship, to still be needed, to still be part of society, you can also, you know, go for group therapy. Or if you have people that you can meet, that you can connect with and make friends, if you make friends with someone that is also, you know, having the same ideas, the same perception of life, the same wiring basically as you are, like an autistic person as well, you can find out it's easier to make friends, and because you guys will understand that you all can relate on so many levels. So you go for you meet and connect with people from your own community. If your loved one is autistic, a support group can help you manage stressors. You can be experiencing stressors, and like a support group can help you manage that and be there for your loved one in the most effective way. You get to meet others who have dealt with similar challenges and experiences as well. So it's actually like really, really, really beneficial to, you know, to do that. So that is the last one I'm going to talk about. I also want to add one last thing before we end this topic, and I want to say caring or helping kids with autism. Number one is just be very patient, educate yourself, get yourself all the knowledge you can get about autism. If you don't know if the child is autistic and you just want to have an idea of what could be going on, you can get the advice of a mental health professional. Say, oh, this is my son, this is how he's behaving, what could be wrong with him? I'm pretty sure a professional would evaluate the child and come up with a diagnosis for you and educate you on everything concerning that diagnosis. And you can also do your own work by going to do a proper research about your child's diagnosis. It gives you a better understanding of that particular child, because most children in a family may not have autism, and could just be one out of five that might have an autistic tendency or have autism. So it just makes you have that understanding towards that child, and even helps you to even relieve your own stress, because you now have understanding what is going on, and you know it's not something to really be worried about. So you can even have the strength and patience to actually take care and provide support for that child. So that's what I'm gonna leave it on. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you learned something today, because this was a very, very important topic. I just needed to talk about it. And this is MindLinks. We're going to be talking about so many topics. This is not going to only be mental health. We're going to be talking about relationship, puberty, anything that can help you as a human being to fully develop and grow very well and adjust to society in the proper way. We will be here to educate you on that. I'll also be having guests as well. So it's not just going to be me talking. I'm going to be getting the point of views from other people. You can send in your voice notes. It will be played here on the podcast. And it will be like you participating also. I really, really want to hear your questions. Please send in your questions. Send in what your opinions are. I really care about your opinions and I want to know. And I'm dying to answer those questions. And I'm dying to give... be educated by your own point of views as well. Thank you for listening to MindLinks, and I hope to see you or hear from you. I hope to hear from you, and I love to see that you've subscribed to the YouTube channel and the Spotify channel. It's called The Dish Talk Show. It's The Dish Talk Show, yeah, on Instagram, on YouTube, and you can just search for MindLinks on Spotify, Apple Music. Or you can just check for The Dish Talk Show on Apple Music and Spotify and listen to any of our shows there. Thank you for listening. You are blessed and special. Have a lovely day and stay healthy. Bye.